The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposo and my partner, Wynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing just fine. How about you?
Good. You've been a busy beaver, huh?
We've been busy. Lots going on.
We're broadcasting live from KCNR Studios, downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, in 1460 AM, your talk radio. And we're streaming live on KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever.
And ever.
And ever.
Amen.
We're here with our trusted producer, Liam. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, yeah. You bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning?
I'm trying to be.
So he's a squirrel.
You are not a morning person, are you?
Nah, really.
You know, I think if God decided that the sun would rise at noon, that'd be just about the time that...
It'd be wonderful.
Would be good for you.
Be great.
Yeah. Anyway, we're broadcasting live here. We've got a few things to go over, and a lot of things have happened this week. We've got a lot of people have finally finished up and thrown their hats in the ring for Assembly District 1. We have Tanessa Audette. We have Melissa Hunt, Mark Bozzano, and we have Heather Hedwick. And it's those are the four that we know of. I'm not sure if anybody else is throwing their hat in the ring or going to. But it's interesting when we look at the selections there and the people there, you know, and we will be interviewing, if not all of them, most of them. Last week, Heather Hatwick was on Carl Bott's show and seemed articulate enough.
Mm-hmm.
She did say she's endorsed by the Dallies, both the Dallies, both mm-hmm. Brian and Megan Dally have endorsed her.
Mm-hmm.
She's from Modoc, part owner of a farm there, a business there. I believe it's her husband's, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's Hedwick. And also, she worked for the sheriff's department and she worked for, the school system. She was Republican Woman of the Year or something in the district, some kind of award, you know what that was
some
exactly?
Some award given through the assembly.
Through the assembly.
Yeah.
Yeah, for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was that one.
Yep.
And seemed articulate enough. Now, her interview was pretty vanilla, because usually the first time that on Free Fire Radio, when Carl does an interview, he doesn't really ask them what they hope to accomplish or are there specific things you want to do. It's more of a generality. Then we have Mark Mazzano, and Mark Mazzano is vice mayor of Reading.
City of Reading, yep.
City of Reading, and he is, he's retired CHP, I believe.
That's my understanding.
And I don't know whether, you know, he held some sort of rank, I want to say captain, but I don't know.
Okay, I don't know that either.
I don't know that he has any type of background in the private sector or not, but he does in the public sector quite a bit. Then you have Heather Hedwick. She also worked for the Dallies at one point. And does she teach over at Bethel, or what do you know what she does? Or
yeah, she teaches. She has one class over there. Or at least she did when she and I spoke a number of months ago about stuff like that. She mentioned she taught a class over there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's another candidate. And then we also have Melissa Hunt, and Melissa has been in the private sector. She's been in real estate for quite some time and was the vice mayor of the city of Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of people running. I'm not sure I haven't heard what any of them really hope to accomplish other than they'll fight for us. We hear that a lot.
We fight.
So I'm really not sure. and I know that you really probably can't say, but is there any win? Is there any leaning at all in the Republican Central Committee in Shasta on that? Any leaning at all there, or you guys haven't made up your mind who you're going to endorse, or what's going on with that, or is it too soon to tell?
We have not even discussed it.
So it's not even on the radar yet.
As a committee, we have not discussed it.
Gotcha.
Yep. I mean, you hear individuals talk about things, but as a committee, we have not discussed it. So that's where we have to leave that right there until we do discuss it, and right. Then it'll be put right out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Senate District 1 has really had kind of a change. I talked to Amy Young from the Nevada County Central Committee. She gave a call last week. We talked about some things on the voting machines, and we actually talked about our CFR case.
Okay.
She had some information on that she wanted to share that apparently I didn't really know about.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and it was kind of a thing where there were some open-ended things left on that case, that there wasn't a decision made on some points in that case. So anyway.
And you're talking about from the judge.
I'm talking about from the judge.
So the judge didn't even address the true issues.
That's right.
That's the thing. She got rid of the case by not even addressing it and costing us, what, $700,000+?
Oh, yeah.
So thank you very much.
Well, you know, justice delayed is justice denied.
And it's right there on the first floor of that building. That's what it says in that big old courthouse building. Justice delayed is justice denied, and that's exactly what they've done.
Exactly. On many cases.
Many cases.
And so, anyway, we talked about that. She talked about Nevada County, that there might be some hope for Nevada County and that it might be getting a little redder. At first, it was a really red county 10 years ago. In fact, in 2009, they were actually the leaders of the spark plug of the Tea Party movement in California, with the Mecklers, and then Ginny Rapini helped them, et cetera, et cetera. So now they've gone a bit blue, and they look like they're trying to come back red. It was a good conversation, very enlightening. She's very astute to what's going on. But in Senate District 1 now, we have Butte County where we didn't before. And now we do. So
yeah, we only had a little bit of Butte County, the part that all burned out. Because before...
not in the Senate district. We have the whole county. I'm talking about Senate, not Assembly.
But didn't we only have a fraction of it before?
We did. We don't need more. We have the whole county.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I agree with
you.
Yes.
Okay. So it's different because to a degree, Shasta County was... the most vocal county, the most active county, probably had the most active Republican Central Committee in District 1.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Nevada's now trying to engage more in that.
Okay.
And now that Butte County is all in for that Senate district, it's going to be interesting to see where all that kind of goes. So I think that that we have to start looking at the counties. We have to understand that the county is really where our power is. We'll be getting a phone call here in a bit from Richard Gallardo. He'll be talking a bit about some of the things and some of the solutions and some of the jurisdiction that the county has that we didn't know before, that the Board of Supervisors have. And he did a very good program on Freedom in Action on Saturday. Anyway, on July 20th at the Holiday Inn Convention Center, not the Holiday Inn Express, the Holiday Inn Convention Center, I believe it's 1900 Hilltop, we will be having Jeff O'Donnell in to speak, and Patrick Jones will be the MC of that. Jeff O'Donnell is going to talk about not just anomalies, but the fact that we did have some we did have some things where there was disruption and some, dare I say, fraud in the Shasta County elections with our own ROV office, et cetera.
Really?
Yes. And so he'll be talking about that. That's going to be, again, on July the 20th at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. The doors will open at 5 o'clock. It starts at 6 o'clock. So that should be good. We also had another meeting in Cottonwood.
And keep in mind, that is a Thursday.
Yes, it is
a Thursday. So everybody understands, that is a Thursday.
Okay. And we did have a meeting in Cottonwood.
Mm-hmm.
At the Cottonwood Community Center. And I know that when I talked to a couple of people last night, they were under the impression it was the Cottonwood folks. Well, no.
No.
It was the buildings in Cottonwood.
The building just happened to be
right
there. Yep.
But Jesse Lane, who was one of the people who spearheaded it, thank you, Jesse, Jesse is from Shasta Lake, so he's from Shasta Lake City. And Woody Clendenin actually lives in Tehama County. So it was a conglomeration of all of us trying to get together to pull the groups together to say, okay, we need to stay the course and pick our fights and not try to fight all these individual ones. Now, I know that...
And there were people, there were other groups represented from Tehama County along with the many groups represented from Shasta County. So you have two counties being combined there. So it's going to take... It's going to get going.
And I thought it was good. I know that I talked to Dominic Santangelo last night, and his group is the...
Shasta County Republican Assembly.
Right. And I talked to him at length last night, and I think that he shared some frustration, I think we all do, and that is that once we get going on this, and we get these groups together, first of all, the understanding this is not a Cottonwood group.
Right.
This is not a... specific group. This is all groups. We just, that was just the building we were able to get.
Yes.
He did share some frustration, which I think is, maybe frustration is the wrong word. Not with the folks that did that or the meeting itself, but frustration with the government, frustration with California, in that he believes that meeting once a month in those meetings is not enough. And I tend to agree with
him. I agree.
And I talked to Jesse Lane yesterday and the day before, and I think that there's an agreement that all of us understand we need to get together a little more than that, and then define what we want to do, define the goals that we have and what we want to accomplish with pulling everybody together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing that was brought up, and it was brought up by Paul Dominic last night, and he's right. We need to be showing up at the Board of Supervisor meetings. If you can show up there, we need to show support for the three conservatives that are representing us. And we haven't really had the support of late of a lot of people. And I know, folks, everybody works. I get that. And I know that there's people that even work for the county that manage to show up at those meetings. I don't know how they get out of work, but they do. And, there's people who come in and they wear their little blue shirts, the Kevin Cry recall. Again, the lie, basically, that we spent all this money. What money? I don't think we spent any money. How are we at, Wham?
No.
It was 4 million. First it was 2 million, then it was 4 million, now it's 6 million. Maybe it's 10 million with the next ad. But the point is that, you know, if you're, the real reason is, and it was said at the Board of Supervisors, is that the recall of Kevin Cry is simply because those folks actually believe they can recall Kevin, and they'd have no chance of doing it with Patrick Jones. And that was the main comment about where they were coming from. And then they did this cute little trick where they stand up and turn their back on the supervisors when they don't like it. Well, they even stood up and turned their back on speakers. I mean, you know, you talk about freedom of speech, you talk about showing respect for one another, and then you have a situation where you've got these people basically turning their back on a public speaker because they don't like what they're saying. To me, it's not only childish, but it shows their true colors.
Well, it shows their lack of respect for the office and the facility that they're in. And they're just, you're right, they're acting
childish. And the people.
And the people,
they're
acting
childish. It's just a person with their three-minute comment.
Yep.
We do have Richard Gallardo on the phone. And so, Rich, I'm glad you could make it. Good program you did yesterday. And if you want to lead in with a couple of things real quick, I do have a couple of questions about some of the things you said that I think are really relevant and the folks are going to want to hear. So what you got, buddy?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, so trying to introduce a remedy to take back our local countywide elections. In my humble opinion, after a couple of years of research, myself and other people that have researched our election laws, state and federal, we believe our state and federal elections are pretty much lost. The fraud is so widespread. The fraud is ingrained in the actual laws. So by following the laws, it allows the fraud. And so, 7-8 months ago, I came up with an idea. I meet with the local group regarding election integrity. We've been meeting for about 8 months. And I said, you know, I hate to say it, but I think we're going to have to separate our countywide elections on a separate ballot, a separate envelope. And in order to do that, of course, it's going to cost some money, but I have to look for the jurisdiction. I have to look for the authority or in order to do that. and I found a very interesting government code, 25201, and I don't have it up in front of me, but it gives the local county board of supervisors great latitude and authority. But it also says, notwithstanding the election code, meaning they also have to follow the election code, the state's election code. But it gives them great latitude to appoint inspectors and judges and clerks, canvass elections, which means counting, by the way. When you canvass an election, it also means you're counting the ballots. And it gives them great general latitude and authority. This 20-year-old law, I believe, has been sitting collecting dust, and I don't think anybody's ever used it. And plus the California Constitution, all political powers inherent in the people.
Right.
The people have the right to alter or abolish the government when, I forgot the exact verbiage, Terry has it memorized. But so we can alter. So in this case, we're not abolishing our local government or the state government. We're going to alter our local election control. And so we have the authority and the jurisdiction to do some things. And that's what I covered yesterday on the radio. And the key here is, so if anybody could go to that, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention the other radio.
Yeah, if you want, yeah, it's Freedom in Action. Yeah,
so KQMS.com, click on podcasts, and then scroll down to Freedom in Action for July 8th, hour number 2. And that's where you'll hear. The first half hour, I just review the election issues and the problem. But the second half hour of hour number 2, that's where I go over the authorities and jurisdictions. And we absolutely can take 100% local control of our county-wide elections by separating physically the ballots and the envelopes. And I think that's the only remedy we have left, the window to save or reform our elections at the state and federal level. I believe, my humble opinion, is already closed. It's 99% fraudulent. And so this is going to be a very bold idea, a very bold move if the County Board of Supervisors chooses to look at this, but we are short on time. And the public, once this idea gets out, I hope the public embraces it, maybe even adds some information and ideas to it. But the key here is we have to let our County Board of Supervisors know that we want this to happen. We want to separate our ballots and our envelopes. It's going to cost money. I detailed yesterday there's a place we can go and get some general fund money from a current bloated county contract. So it's not a money issue at all. We have the money to do this. It's just a matter of having the will to do it. And then when we get a new county council soon, hopefully, and this time hopefully we get a decent one that's actually constitutionally minded, then we get the county council's office on board to offensively sue the state of California for disenfranchisement of the vote on several different levels. And so it's kind of a 1-2 punch. You know, the one is to take control of a county election, and number two is to, and I'm not a fan of lawsuits. They take years. I get it. But it's a peaceful remedy, and we want to exhaust our peaceful remedies before anything else occurs. So anyway, you had some questions?
Yeah, I do. What you referred to was Article 2, Section 1, all political powers inherent in the people, government is instituted for their protection, security, and benefit, and they have a right to alter or reform it when the public good may require. So since you have that there, it should be possible for you, and I love you finding this, my friend. That's just great. Government Code 25201. Is it possible, then, that we could enact that and put forth an ordinance to the way that we construct our voting here? And as you said, and I want you to explain this a little bit more, how we have this, we have the separate paper ballots and we send those out separately. So the way that I'm understanding that is you would have the state being sent in separately, the local being sent in separately, and the federal being sent in separately. Is that the idea? So enlighten us on that, my friend.
Well, the idea is to, let me give one more jurisdictional authority. U.S. Supreme Court decision in 1997, Foster versus Love, and that Supreme Court opinion basically says.
Oh, that's the election day one. Yeah, go ahead.
Elections is one day.
Yeah.
Is one day, and that's another authority we can claim against the state and even the feds if we needed to. But no, to answer your question. Any office any state or local office, any local office within the county boundaries. So that would be either county office, city office, school board, water board, etc. Any local or countywide office. We make that a separate ballot and a separate envelope.
Gotcha.
The remainder of the elections, state and federal races, they all stay on their own collective on ballots and envelopes. So that's the key here. And it's bold, like I said, but we I don't see any other way out. I honestly don't. With the study that I've done with these election laws, and if we don't do this very soon, the Board of Supervisors can start with a resolution, which of course is a political statement showing their intent to separate the countywide ballot. And then once that resolution is presented and passed, then we start going into the meat and potatoes. That would be ordinances. That would be policies,
yes,
countywide
yes.
policies.
Yes.
And absolutely. So this can happen. You know, the way to do it, it's not that difficult. It's just the fortitude needs to
yeah,
be there.
Yeah, exactly, my
backing,
friend.
And
exactly.
the backing of the county council's mm-hmm. office under direction from the board. Remember, mm-hmm. county council works for the Board of Supervisors. So if the Board of Supervisors majority directs county council to initiate lawsuits, mm-hmm. then they must do so.
Now, on Foster v. Love, I love that you found that. The Constitution does say that we could have, we are to have an election day. Now, in using that, I know it's an opinion, the Supreme Court opinion, but in using that, is there a way, by using Article 11 of the California Constitution, the county could do an ordinance and say, well, we're going to have an election day. And if they did that, the other part of my question is, if they did that, when you only have an election day, that would put burden, at least in some people's minds, on businesses that are saying it's election day, but you really can't have the time off, blah, 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 blah. Is there something, I mean, I don't see that here in Shasta County. I don't really see that. Is there a way around all that stuff, and what are your thoughts on that?
Well, state law already mandates that employers give their employees enough time on election day, enough time off to go to their precinct and vote. So the state law already covers that. The issue here is if we separate our countywide ballots and we start putting our own ordinances and policies together, and we center on election day, so that means no 30-day counting, counting prior, no 28 days counting after. if we take control of absentee ballots, and we do not mail out to everybody, even though the state election code says we're to mail out, this is a very unique idea. And if we do these things, right, if we mandate voter ID for the countywide ballot, if we mandate only absentee for infirmed or out of country or military, we can do a lot of things. Yes, the state will immediately find some crooked judge, and some judge is going to tell us, no, you can't do any of this. But you know what? Judges are flawed. They're highly flawed in America. And unfortunately, in today's state and federal governments, most of them are bought and paid for by the wrong side of the aisle. And so, no, we will be challenged in court if we try to do this. Absolutely, we will. But you know what? Why are we going to ask permission to take control of our countywide election? And I mentioned this yesterday on the radio. We're not even the registered office. They're not even required to report countywide elections to the Secretary of State.
Rich, can you repeat that?
The election code that backs that up. They're not even required to report it, and Joanna, who's second in command, is the registered office, has confirmed it. It's about a year and a half ago.
Hey, Rich.
Report countywide
elections. I don't think he can hear you. Rich, Wynn's trying to ask you a question, and also your phone just got really muffled. It sounds like
you're distant from your phone.
It was really hard to hear you.
I was straining like crazy to hear you, and I know if I'm straining here in the studio, it's going to be really tough on the radio. So, can you repeat that last little bit that you said prior to what you said about Johanna?
I was talking about the countywide election. We do not report countywide election results to the Secretary of State.
Right.
Okay.
Not mandated. So here's my, and that's another justification to take full control of our countywide election. The Secretary of State doesn't care to the point where we don't have to report to the Secretary. So that's another justification to take full control of our countywide election.
Hmm. Interesting.
Very interesting. And
so that's already a precedent.
Yes.
So we could just continue doing that, and we can have a different, like you said, election day, be successful with that, and then whatever the Fed and state stuff, however that's mandated, or if we want to be in compliance with that, or if we want to change the whole darn thing.
Correct. It's an easier legal pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Keeping the state and federal races together and following all their convoluted, fraudulent rules and laws, which we do not like. However, we leave the state and federal races alone on their own ballot.
Yes.
And then that's why we separate the countywide ballot.
Perfect.
And that's still going to be a legal fight, but it's a much easier legal fight.
Right. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that once the action comes into place with all the things that you're bringing up here, I mean, with the idea of an ordinance, the idea of an election day, the idea of the Board of Supervisors being able to separate these paper ballots, et cetera, I think all that stuff, if in fact the Board of Supervisors has the the fortitude to have the backbone to do this, I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, you've covered about every objection over the last few minutes that anyone could even have about this stuff.
Well, and I think that if it's in election code, we use it.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to have to go off to our break here. Rich, if you want to hang on, you can. It's up to you, my friend, but we've got to go off to our first break. And time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
America, pray. If that's a wave of the future, all I've got to say. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Keep your big mess away from me and mine. If you leave us alone, well, we'd all be just fine. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M. Brew.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howell, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Many a dream has died.
Did Sally send that in?
Like a tree. Indeed.
She did?
Yep.
Okay, that means she probably wants me to do yard work. Listen to that. Honey, it's going to be like 100 today. Ain't no way.
Oh, come on.
Ain't no way, baby.
Suck it up, buttercup.
Nope. Yep.
Hey, Rich, are you there?
Yeah, hey, yard work includes leaning on a shovel in the shade with a...
Rich, you're going to have to do something with your phone.
Your
it's
phone
almost
issue.
Impossible to hear you, and I don't know whether you have to hold it up to your mouth or anything like that, but you had so much great stuff, but it's just... It's tough.
I'm outside. I'm not on speaker. I'm outside. My cell signal is not going to get any better at this moment.
Okay.
All right. Go for it.
Well, I can... Okay.
So you're not able to really understand me then?
Well, right there.
We got the gist because that's why we were doing the clarification. No, we weren't trying to interrupt you. We were just trying to clarify it because like I said, Wynn's got actual really good hearing, and it was tough. Anyway, go ahead, brother. What you got?
All right. Well, did you have a question,
Wynn? No. I guess I should. The government code 25201, the one you mentioned, I pulled it up when you were talking about it initially, and it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear, and it's current, and it's effective.
Yeah.
So that needs to be just littered everywhere. Everybody needs to look it up. And what it states, it says, subject to the provisions of the election code, the board may establish, abolish, and change election precincts, appoint inspectors, clerks, and judges of election, canvass all election returns, declare the result, and order the county elections official to issue certificates of election. And that was amended by statute in 2002, and it's effective as of January 1, 2003.
And one more clarification, folks. When we talk about the California Constitution, a lot of people look up the original Constitution or the one that was done in the 1870s. That is not the Constitution that's current. The most current one I've got, maybe, Rich, you've got a more current one, is the 2017-2018 edition. And I'm sure that there's even amendments since then, but there's been like 573 amendments to the Constitution. So a lot of times when you'll quote something and you'll quote an article and people will say, well, no, that isn't what it says. Well, it didn't say that in 1850, but it says that now. And so
correct.
I think the one other thing to remember is that, and this is from the inside, this is from inside the Capitol, this is from the people that are doing this, the clerks, et cetera, are saying, quote, we're doing nothing but amending everything. We're amending. We spent all our time doing that. So, folks, it's very important what people like Rich Gallardo have to bring forward and the strategies we need to use. But we can't wait. We need to move right ahead. So I'm going to give you kind of a last word here, Rich, to wrap it up. What you got, brother?
Yeah, a couple more things. The regulations that the Secretary of State, proposed regulations on hand counting, that hearing occurred last week on July 3rd of all things. I wonder why they did that. I was not there, but some of our local patriots were there, including one of our supervisors. And it sounds to me like there was not a quorum of that committee present for that meeting. And if that's the case, of course, that makes that meeting null and void.
Exactly.
Meaning they're going to have a second hearing. Jefferson's been stalled and delayed. The 2A case has been stalled and delayed. So this is probably a stall and delay tactic by the Secretary of State, in all likelihood, because they've done it before. Anyways, those proposed regulations, there's some bad stuff in there. There are three or four provisions where the manual hand tally process can be revoked. That is the verbiage, revoked. And one of them, even during a manual hand count, during it can be revoked. It is absolutely, so you're going to be in the middle of it and someone doesn't like what's happening or the timeline, and then the Secretary of State can revoke your tally while you're doing it. And then they're going to throw you a machine, say, here's a machine to count your vote. It's ridiculous.
So they're disenfranchising all the electors, constituents. That's what they're doing.
Set up to fail, right. So the whole manual tally system, the proposed regulations, it is set up to fail intentionally.
Yes.
But the only one caveat, which is a weak caveat, is Election Code 15701. The registrar of voters, if she can petition the court for an extension
right.
of vote tabulation, whether it doesn't matter if it's manual or electronic. But again, that's an option. So our registrar of voters, I don't think she's going to take that option. I think she's going to want any manual tally to fail. That's my opinion.
Well, is she supposed to follow the directive of the Board of Supervisors, or is it just election code?
Yes. No. If the Board of Supervisors lawfully pass ordinances and county policies, she is obligated to follow them. Absolutely, she is. And the last thing, I put in the chat a little while ago a website. It's a Google website, but I believe Laura Hobbs, if I'm wrong, somebody correct me, I believe Laura Hobbs is running this website, It is a massive amount of data regarding our local election integrity. Massive amount. Videos, documents, voter records. It is a crazy amount of information. It is basically a one-stop shop for Cass County election integrity. It's beautiful. There's an email address at the bottom of that website. So if you have information to contribute to this website, send it to that email address. But that way, again, one-stop shop. It's beautiful. The amount of work in this website is massive.
What's the title of the website? What's it called?
It's a Google Sites link, and it's called Shasta Citizen News, I believe. But it's very, very difficult to put that in a search bar and find it. So you're pretty much going to have to just click on the link itself that I put in the chat room.
Oh, okay.
Can you send that to
our emails?
Our emails, and send it to Pete and everybody else. That'd be great, buddy. Okay,
and,
well,
and I'll be on Mountaintop Media next weekend. Basically, similar information to my radio show that I did yesterday. However, I will have my my PowerPoint presentation finished and polished by next weekend to do the podcast. And then once that is finished and polished, I will put that out for public consumption also.
Perfect.
Well, you know, what we need to do when you do that is drop it as soon as possible so that it gets out there, because all this is really time sensitive because of what they're doing to us. And remember, on the inside, all the clerks are doing nothing but amend.
You're talking to the clerks down
the
Capitol. I'm talking
to the clerks of the Capitol, the people who are working for the legislative body. They're doing nothing but amending bills, laws. They're probably going to start amending the Constitution, just all this crazy stuff. So, I mean, that's happening within the Capitol.
Wow.
And the source I have is extremely, extremely reliable.
Oh, yeah. So if everybody likes the idea of separating out county-wide ballots, time to start emailing the County Board of Supervisors.
Excellent.
They're the ones that are going to make it happen.
Excellent.
So thank you, everybody, for the time today.
All right, my friend.
Thank you,
and
Rich.
Also looking forward to your podcast, and hopefully that'll be a special report. We can really get that out there as soon as we can.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Have a good day, guys.
You too.
Thanks. We did have a meeting in Cottonwood, as we talked about at the beginning of the program. We talked about the meeting that was called together by Jesse Lane and Woody Clendenin.
Yep.
And it was really good in the fact that a lot of people spoke, but again, the direction is really what we're looking for here. And they have a vision. We all have a vision, and that is to win back our county. And I think that's the main thing. And in talking to Woody and Jesse yesterday, the other day, and yesterday talking to Jesse, in the fact that we need to understand taking back the county is the one power we have that we can make an effect. We can actually affect something. The assembly, I mean, God bless those people for running, but really and truly, if you're one of 17 and there's 80 of you and you have 63 Democrats and four of the 17 that are Republicans vote with the Democrats most of the time, then what do you hope to accomplish there? Whereas if you are a supervisor here, you run for any kind of office here. And the school boards was something else that was brought up at the meeting in Cottonwood. If, in fact, Newsom does what he said he was going to do after the Temecula school board decided they weren't going to have Harvey Milk Day anymore, they weren't going to teach critical race theory, and they were going to change social studies up to reflect the founders on who they were, and have it be constitutionally accurate. So those things that went on, when that happened, Newsom, in his infinite knowledge, said, you know what, you're gonna teach what I tell you to teach. And so, therefore, there is going to be a bill that's coming that's going to say, okay, each county will have one board.
Mm-hmm.
That one board probably is going to be the County Board of Education, I'm guessing, that will have jurisdiction over this. That's a guess. And what's going to happen is that the county board would be putting a curriculum forward at the pleasure of the state, and the state would have jurisdiction over that. So, in other words, if your kid is in a school system, no matter where it is, school board will no longer have any jurisdiction over curriculum. What do you think about that, Wim?
I think that's Gestapo-esque. I mean, if you look at it that way, you know, there's no secret that Gavin wants to take over Joe's seat, right? Or a staircase or whatever else is going on. And so.
Trying to get some cocaine?
Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah, maybe he's linked in there somewhere somehow. I wouldn't surprise me a bit. But what he's going to do is however he can make California go, and then if he only has to deal with 50, you know, education boards that are running their own respective states, right? So each one is run by the state, then he can mandate exactly what's going to go on come hell or high water, and that's how they're going to try to dumb us down. It's going to come to something to that effect. So no way, Jose. And who's to say, you know, yeah, he's probably going to run for president, but I would be surprised if he even makes it out of the chute. I mean, just because we have the rest of the nation to say no way. Even some of the people that are on the opposite, that are blue, that don't want him as well. They're looking at Joe. They're looking at him. It's like, no, we don't want either one of them. They would probably go for Kennedy, versus Newsom. I would go for Kennedy versus Newsom. So, but I'm not going to vote for either one of them. So that's how it goes.
It's going to be hard to tell because we don't know what the agenda is at the very top. It's sort of like, I'll give you a good example of that. I know that the Republican Central Committees are really trying hard, all of them, and God bless you guys for doing this, trying to make sure that they have conservatives in there, make sure that they have people who understand the Republican platform, what it really is, and follow that, try to get good people elected, get honest people elected, get rid of the politicians and create statesmen. And I think that the Republican Central Committees all have a heart for that. At least a lot of them that I've talked to in the North State certainly do. And Fresno and even Silicon Valley with my good friend Tina Saleen. So I think that when we look at all this, we have to start realizing the fact that if we're going to say no, we have to say no and not submit to this.
That's right.
Problem is, the Central Committees want one thing, and the Republican leadership of the GOP in the state of California wants something entirely different. And I've heard this from Fresno, I've heard it from Nevada County, I've heard it from Shasta County, I've heard it from Butte County, I've heard it from Tehama County, I've heard it from Pasadena, the folks in Pasadena, I've heard it from the folks in Long Beach, I've even heard it from Los Angeles County. So, point being, is that with all this going on, we have to take a stand. It's no more. We will not comply. That's ridiculous. You comply with complying means you can comply or not comply. This is submitting to tyranny. So I think that we have to really define the difference. And people that are running for office, I would implore you to run for something that's going to be meaningful. It may sound good to be an assemblyman or an assemblywoman for the state of California, but could you do more good as a board of supervisors?
You're just going down into that pit. You're just going to be more frustrated and not be able to get what you think rightfully done. And what are you going to do? How are you going to be effective? Affect your local government first and foremost, 100%, always, every time.
The only one that I think, I believe, Mark Baird running is saying, hey, I'm going to run because I'm going to fight every day, and we need to split the state. Come on. 80 and 40. Seriously? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to David Fennell. This was probably, I don't know, 5 weeks ago when we were at the, when Mark Baird did his event.
Yeah.
And David had run for lieutenant governor in the state of California. He's I believe, a Butte County resident. And
I guess he's moving there.
Yeah, that's what I've been told.
Yeah. I don't know if he actually lives there yet.
Well, anyway, that's the gig. And so anyway, we were talking, and he said, you know, I went to all the Republican Central Committees in every single county. I found out that a lot of them are just on paper. They really don't meet. There's not a lot of them.
You mean he researched them, or
he physically went to them, drove and visited them, all 58.
So he visited ours?
That's what he said.
When?
Beats the heck out of me. That's what the man said.
I'm the secretary of the committee?
And you've never seen
I take
him.
Minutes.
You've never seen him, huh?
I don't recall him being there.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Unless there's that one time maybe I was gone.
Okay.
But I always get the minutes anyway, and
No, that's what he said.
Interesting, okay.
Yeah, he said he visited. So, and I was meaning to ask you about that. But he said that he visited at the time, and he said there was a great red wave coming. Well, the last time I checked, a couple of years ago, before the great red wave, we had 11 Republicans and 29 Democrats in the Senate. Now we have 32 Democrats and 8 Republicans. So what has the leadership in the Republican Party done?
It's imploded.
Except kind of bang against the heads of the people, the good people on the Republican Central Committees that want to have a change for liberty and a change for conservatism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing all kinds of different stories. I'm hearing a lot of people being asked to run for things, and they're being endorsed by congressmen, by different people that are supposed to be on our side. I think the problem is that we have a group of people, and it may be something, I want to get your take on this one, on some of these Republican Central Committees that virtually bleed Republican. They don't bleed liberty. They don't bleed the cause of the people, but I think there's a lot of them that just bleed Republican Party, and whatever enhances or keeps the Republican Party going, no matter right, wrong, or indifferent, that's where they are. Have you seen that in any of these committees?
I've seen it in a couple, and Shasta County isn't that way. We are Republican, and there are tenets that we follow. However, you know, we follow the Constitution. We are for following the founders and how everything was laid out there, and to keep it guided in that direction. And we do want to clean things up. We know that's necessary. Heck, we had to clean up our own central committee here as of January. We cleaned that up. It was a hot mess just the way it was rostered because of our former leadership. It was a hot mess. We had to clean that up, and we had to follow election code. Well, we followed the bylaws first and foremost. Once we finally got a copy of that and the most current bylaws, and so once we got that straightened out and following election code and everything else, it told us what we needed to do, so we did it. That's how we did it. And even in the bylaws that we had, the election code changed because some of the election codes that were mandating what you do as a central committee were inactive. So we, of course, you know, you go on to the California legislative election code tracking system, and you check all that stuff and get the words and get verbatim what they say we need to do and so forth. And some of it was totally removed. So I don't know if, and they do it according to the party. So if you're the Green Party, if you're the Republican Party or Democrat Party or any other party, there could be election code specifically to your party. And so, or there was, and some of it was, unique, to put it that way. But we followed the code, and that's what we were straightening it out, getting that cleaned up. And it's been a work – it's been a big work in progress, and it's going to be ratified here pretty soon. So we should be pretty good with our own local bylaws.
Yeah, you know, and I think that, again, with Butte County in the Senate situation, with Butte County – now being that redistricting situation happening,
mm-hmm.
I think that, to me, there seems to be, at least to whom I've talked to, there seems to be some kind of camaraderie that could be there between the two central committees. I think that there could be between Butte and Shasta. That would be huge. If we can get them on the same
page. And Tehama, we've got a good relationship.
Well,
with
Tehama,
them.
Yeah. But Butte, we're talking about votes here, okay?
No, we're right.
Okay,
you're right.
So the Shasta County was the kingpin when it came to the votes, okay?
Yep.
And now you have Butte County that is, I believe their population's a little bit more than ours.
Right.
And so that's a different animal. And I think with a lot of this redistricting, we got to make sure everybody's up to snuff. But what I'm saying is I believe that the, at least whom I've talked to in the Republican Central Committee and people in Butte County, they seem to be, of a like mind, mm-hmm. To a degree. But we're going to have to get a situation where people are on board with each other. The Senate race in the state of California, Mark Baird is leading from the front. He's going to go in there. He's going to go to the people. And, you know, to understand the fact that it's very important, Section 3A, Article 1 of the California Constitution says the people have the right to instruct their representatives, petition government, or for redress of grievances, and assemble freely to consult for the common good, which means that we have the right to instruct.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the right to suggest. We have the right to instruct. And I think that some of the words mean something. And I think that we have to, as we dive into these constitutions and we start to really start doing our research, as Richard Gallardo did, thank you, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
I think as we dive into that, we need to understand that we really do truly hold the power. I think the central committees, at least from what I've seen with some of them in Shasta County and Tehama County, they're trying to be more inclusive of people. They're trying to create a situation for the for all the constituents
right.
In the Republican Party to get together and have a voice, and I think that's really a good thing. I heard from Los Angeles County. I was amazed. It was the gentleman who actually got in there with the Newsom recall and filled up Dodger Stadium with folks, and been connected to him. Stefan's a great guy from New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mince words. Likes colorful metaphors. My kind of guy. So anyway, I think that there's folks out there in other counties that are watching with Shasta County. I know they're watching.
Yeah, they are.
So I think that what we really need to do is stand up. And again, as we look at these different constitutions, if anybody knows, I should probably check into this. Is there another revised constitution after 2018?
Yeah, I think there's
Are there another new one? Because it's just amended more.
I want to say there was a 2020. There might even be a 2021. I get them every couple of years from either the Assembly or Senate office, whoever happens to have one.
Do you have one?
I don't. I gave mine away.
So 2020?
The most recent one, yeah. Somebody was saying they needed one, so I gave it to them, and I don't remember what revision it was.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to make a call and get one. And I suggest everybody do that. Contact your assembly
and
Senate office and see what they have. They should have it.
No, I don't know, and especially now in hearing from the inside of the Capitol mm-hmm. That they're amending. So we really need to do it. I mean,
yeah.
Who knows? And I think that as we look at the laws coming forward, we have to also understand that we can't submit to them.
Don't they have to put those out for public consumption, whether before, during, or after, whatever? But don't they have to put that out so we can see that as the public? Or do they, and we not know it?
Well,
after they amend it and they put it on from what it was to what it is?
Well, in Article 1, Section 3 of the California Constitution, Section B, Section B1, the people have the right of access information concerning the conduct of the people's business, and therefore the meetings, public bodies, and writings of public officials and agencies shall be open to public scrutiny.
There you go.
However, we do have a thing called closed session.
Yeah. Closed session for the people's work? Really?
Yeah, really. You know, Liam, since our clock doesn't work in here, I want you to flash me at 2 minutes. Thanks.
We're about three now.
Yeah because we've got a clock that's wrong in here. So I don't want to just die on the music. Okay, we have 2 minutes.
Yep.
So anyway, my friend, hopefully we can move ahead, and the guys from Jesse Lane and Woody Clendenin, I believe, are coming in to speak on Sovereign Minds here at the very next program. I would encourage people to tune in.
Yeah.
I'd encourage people to call in and ask them questions on what they're wanting to accomplish. And I might do that myself. I might even hang out at the studio here and watch a little bit, see what's going on.
Okay.
It looks like we have the mayor of Reading outside the window there. You see him?
Poor guy. I wonder what bench he was on last night. Looks a little haggard there.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Anyway, so as we look at everything right now, we have to start understanding that the only way we're going to take this back is we the people.
Amen.
The only way we're going to take this back, and thanks again for all the folks that are doing research. We all need to be going out and doing that and reaching our hands out to other counties so that they can begin to start winning back their counties. The only way we're going to change this whole thing is to win over the counties, have conservative counties, and then split the state. Split the state so we can have adequate representation, and that's a program for another day. In fact, that might be a really good program for the next time we speak.
Hmm.
So, my friend, looks like we're coming to the end of our program here.
Okay.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? It's not our bill. We had no say. You go to
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.